Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If the teachings and audios you find here at BethEmmanuel.org are a blessing to you, please consider supporting Beth Emmanuel with a gift, or become a member of our virtual congregation by becoming a regular contributor. To learn how to contribute, click on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, I greet you with Sabbath greetings in the name of our Master Yeshua the Messiah. And the Bracha. Blessed be the God and Father of our Master Yeshua the Messiah, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead. It's 1 Peter 1:3. A great Bracha. In the classic Bracha formulation. Our Master says, Amen and Amen. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then again, a little bit further on, he says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about the biblical concept of quickening. Remember, David cries out, Chayeni, Chayeni, make me alive, make me alive. Quickening is being made alive. And I compared it to the prenatal state when a woman feels the first movement of the baby moving within her, a state which is called the quickening. That is the first light flutter within her womb, barely perceptible, the first evidence of new life growing within her, remember? And we learned that one of the definitions of the word quickening, to quicken, is to reach the stage of pregnancy at which the child shows signs of life, right? So this is a little review. The English word, remember, the English word quick actually means alive, yes? Whereas today it means fast. It originally meant alive. The English word quick means alive, and the English word dead means dead. Yes. And so we spoke about the difference between the quick and the dead. And so we looked at several various quickening texts in the Bible which speak of this inner life, this inner, not the physical body, but an enlivening, the quickening of the inner being, of the neshama, of the divine soul within a human being. So today, I want to continue that mystical tract. We're going to continue that mystical track and look at the mysticism of salvation a little bit more. What is salvation? And study a little bit more about this idea of the divine soul within you, coming to life through the life-giving spirit of Messiah who awakens us. The mystical idea is like this in a nutshell. We learned all this already, okay? God quickens the slumbering spirit, the slumbering soul within a man, within a woman. God wakens it. He makes it alive within us so that even when the body, the guf, the physical body dies, this neshama, this living soul, might pass from life to life to wait until He quickens the body and returns the quickened body. He returns the quickened body to life. And then He returns the quickened spirit, which was already quickened, back into that quickened body. Everything's alive then. He returns the spirit to the flesh. And we call this the resurrection of the dead. It's one of the fundamental principles of faith in Messiah. The hope of our salvation. The resurrection of the dead. And all of this is the work of Hashem. By His grace, by His mercy, by the atonement that He affords to us through the suffering of our Master. This is what we believe. This is who we are. This is what we believe. And in His life, and in His death, and in His life from the dead, that is the resurrection of Yeshua, Our Master lays a pattern out in front of us. He lays a pattern for us. He beats the trail, so to speak. He blazes the trail in front of us so that we might see and follow. Because he says, remember he said to his disciples, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." And where was he going? He was going to die. And then he was going to rise. So we cannot follow now, but we will follow afterward. For now, however, that doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do for now. It's not like we are quickened and we just wait around to die. That would be a sort of morbid religion. For now, we are supposed to be busy while being alive, putting to death our mortal flesh, by denying ourselves, by denying our egos and our lusts and our desires. Because in this mystical language of salvation, we have died with Him. And the life that we live in the flesh is no longer our own life, but that of Messiah within us. Right? This is what we've learned. I'll just review. This is in the way of review, okay? And we all, it says, we all, with unveiled face, this is in 2 Corinthians, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image as Him, from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. Or 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are, Paul says to the believers, being transformed. That should have some currency with today's kids. Right? They're into the Transformers. Christians in disguise. Right? Our destiny then, if we are quickened, our destiny is to be, Paul says, conformed. Oh, this is great. It's like the words rhyme. We are being transformed, and then the destiny is to be conformed to the image of His Son. He said we're being transformed into the image of His Son. That was in 2 Corinthians. And then in Romans chapter 8, he says, our destiny is to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now this happens on many levels. This is to be like the Master. This is the transformation that's happening, is that we should become more and more like the Master. With each day that goes past, we're more like Him. Every day, we're more like Yeshua. That's being transformed. But also there's a transformation that he's speaking of, which is this ultimate transformation which will happen at the time of the resurrection from the dead. Because what with us not being immortal and everything, it's hard to be conformed to the image of the immortal until the resurrection. Paul's wrapping that in. See, the Master lays this out in front of us, this path that we must follow. So, what's our goal? Transformation and confirmation. Why? Well, Paul explains, even regarding himself, and you think, who is Paul? Well, Paul is this great tzaddik. You know, Paul is this great tzaddik. Paul explains regarding himself that his goal was that, he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Like, what? Didn't Paul know the power of His resurrection? You know, what's to know? The guy was dead. He was dead 3 days. He came back to life. What's to know? What does he mean? That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed, and there's that word again, to His death. Paul wants to be conformed to His death in order, with the goal, so that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. So Paul's objective in life is to attain the resurrection from the dead. And when he says to attain the resurrection from the dead, he means to enter the kingdom, to enter the messianic era. And the master said, no one will see the messianic era. No one will see the kingdom unless he is born again. All right. Wow. You know, this all comes together after a while. After you study the Bible for a while, you know, and you start to learn these things, it all starts to come together and it starts to make sense in its own way. But I want this to be more for us than just flowery religious words in our lives. You know, doctrinal things like ideas that we believe in. Don't you? I mean, you probably wouldn't be here if you weren't that kind of person. There really are a lot of people, though, in the world, aren't there? And there's like how many Christians are there? There's more than 1 billion Christians in the world. More than 1 billion people who call themselves Christians. But let's face it, for most of us who identify with Christ, really this is just a religion. You might be Catholic. You might be Protestant. You might be Messianic. It makes no difference. And this is what I'm concerned about. That for most of us, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Messianic, or what have you, most of us who profess to be followers of the Messiah, for most of us who make this confession that we profess to be disciples, I'm a disciple, most of us who should be in possession of this transformed life in reality, this confession of ours makes no difference in our lives. For most of our billion brothers and sisters, for most of us, it makes no difference. And if being a follower of the Messiah makes no difference, then something is amiss. Something's wrong. Because this guy is pretty radical. It should make a difference. Here, I have an analogy for you. A parable. Imagine that you won the lottery. Powerball. The big one. Like $90 million. Winning ticket. You know, they're calling your numbers off. Whoa. Each number that goes by. Yes. 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 Right? $90 million. Lottery. But for some reason, you know, busyness of life and that sort of thing, you never got around to redeeming that ticket. You know, you just go on with life as if nothing has changed at all. You know, living life in a completely ordinary manner. And everyone, you know, you're like the neighbors. You know, nothing has changed. You know, you get up, you brush your teeth, and you go to work. And nothing has changed because you just haven't redeemed the ticket. You didn't bring the ticket in and claim it. Can you imagine? You know, and you go around like, you tell everyone, hey, I'm a lottery, you know, I'm a millionaire. I'm a lottery winner. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But you actually don't have the millions because you never redeemed the ticket. So what if you won the lottery, but you didn't do anything about it? Which is, I'm afraid, the situation for a lot of us, that's what religion amounts to, a winning lottery ticket that you keep in your pocket, but you never bother to redeem, because after all, life is busy, and who has time to redeem a lottery ticket? Well, that would be crazy if you knew a lottery winner like that, but that's, you know, my question is, how is your life different? How is it different? And I don't mean in terms of certain rituals and observances, or liturgical formulations, or confessions, or creeds, or the church that you attend, or the day that you attend church. But really, how is Messiah transforming you, your life? How do other people see Messiah in my day-to-day behavior, in my day-to-day life? Am I living what we could call the Christ life? Ask yourself. Does it make a difference in my life? Would I be different? If I wasn't a believer, what would be different? Or is this all just a bunch of religious jargon that I have accepted? a series of doctrinal axioms and dogmas mixed in with some platitudes that I have just accepted and comfortably settled into. Because if we have been quickened with Messiah, made alive with Messiah, if we have indeed been born again, born from above, I argue, this is my premise today, it should make a big difference. It should make a huge difference in our lives. Now, you might assess the situation this way. This is my cynic speaking. I might say, well, you know, I did say the sinner's prayer. And I did pray to accept Jesus as my Savior. And I did become a Christian. And to be honest, it hasn't done me a lot of good. I'm really no different than anyone else. And as far as I can see, it didn't take. It didn't work. So I guess, you know, two possibilities here. One, it's all a sham. Or two, maybe it works for other people. It just doesn't work for me. But that cynic is a lazy person. He is a lottery winner who has won the spiritual lottery but is too lazy to cash in the ticket. Who is this person who didn't claim his winnings? And how do you claim the ticket? Salvation is the first moment of quickening. You know, the whole church is about, you know, at least on the evangelical side, or on the other side, I mean, even on the sacramental side, it's about getting that, attaining that salvation. But salvation is just the first kick inside. It's the quickening, the first inner stirring of the soul, the being made alive, the miracle of God, a touch from God, a new birth within, a new beginning. We're talking, though, about a little child, a baby, an unborn baby that's not even ready to exist outside of the womb, that must be nourished, sustained, must grow. As Paul said, he said to the Galatians, I'm in labor again until Messiah is formed within you. Or he said in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Then we will be able to say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives through me. Then, when we've attained that full stature. I once heard a great title for a book. I thought it was a great title for a book. It was a book about psychology and neurosis and that sort of thing, I think. I think that's what it was about, anyway. It was a long time ago I heard this. But the title of the book was, Why Can't Everyone Be Normal Like Me? A great title, because, I mean, the premise of the book, as I recall it, says it turns out that no one actually is. You know, everyone is their own unique brand of crazy. Anyway, it reminds me of an important spiritual principle that I learned. I once knew a great man of God. I mean, a great man of God, a modern apostle character, so to speak, had a huge impact on my life. And you know, I can't say that, you know, I've risen to the challenges he placed on my life, but he was very influential when I was a young man. And he often spoke about the contrast between what he called the normal Christian. He was from Liverpool, like the Beatles, you know? So he would speak like, I mean, it was like listening to Ringo Starr give a sermon. But he would speak about the difference between the normal Christian and the average Christian. What does the normal disciple of Messiah look like? He would ask us. What does it mean to be a normal Christian? And he would very gently and in that Ringo Starr voice, he would explain that he looks like Messiah. He looks like the Sermon on the Mount. He looks like the new life. He looks like the transformed life, the quickened life. And that transformation, that new life that dwells within, that new person that dwells within, impacts everything. Everything he does, everything he says, everything he is, as the Hasidim say, thought, speech, and action The three spheres by which the soul interacts with the material world. Thought, speech, and action. The branches of this man's life, the normal Christian, the branches of his life are heavy. They are weighted down with the ripe fruit of the Holy Spirit. He is the picture of life. Do you know this man? He is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable. He is not resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing. He rejoices at truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. Oh. He endures all things. I'm talking about the normal believer. I'm talking about the normal disciple. His righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. He considers himself as a child, low in station. And he puts others continually ahead of his own needs, his own wants, his own desires and ambitions. He takes the low place, always the last place. And he awakes and lives each day to serve others, and through that service to serve the Almighty God. He seeks the kingdom first. That is, he puts the kingdom ahead of everything. And he wrestles with sin like everybody else. He wrestles with sin and temptation like every other man and woman. But he prevails because he is a tzaddik, a saint, a righteous person. And I am describing the normal follower of Messiah. I'm talking about the normal disciple of Yeshua. Now, if you're like me, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know a lot of people like that. I don't know a lot of normal people. So how can you say that's normal? It doesn't sound normal to me. It doesn't sound like me. Why can't people be normal like me? That's not normal like me. That's abnormal. And you're right. It's not normal in the sense of that's what's natural. It's not natural. That's not natural at all. It's supernatural. A person like that is supernatural. But the normal believer, a disciple of Yeshua filled with the supernatural Holy Spirit of the Almighty Infinite God, is not a natural person. He's a supernatural person. Someone who has supernaturally, spiritually died and come back to life. Alive. What do we call that when someone dies and comes back to life? We call it a zombie. Wrong. For some reason, I don't know what the deal is, but some reason zombies are really big in the culture today, popular with the kids. I don't know. I've got teenagers, you know. I don't understand it. I'm a little bit delighted that I'm finally getting old enough to get to the point where I can say, you know, I don't get it. And I just don't get it anymore, you know. I wondered, when that would happen. when I finally wouldn't feel like I was into all the things that my teenage boys were into. But I don't get the zombie thing. What's up with the zombies, you know? But let's talk about zombies. What's a zombie? It's the walking dead, right? So is it possible to be a spiritual zombie? Am I a spiritual zombie? I think so. Walking dead. Because last week we learned that there's two types of people, literally speaking, the quick and the dead. And this is the living and the not living. That's the contrast we're making. So you got two kinds of human beings in the world, right? The dead ones and the alive ones, literally. And spiritually speaking, it works the same way. But it's possible to be alive in the goof, in the flesh, but spiritually dead. Just a husk of a human being. Busy, running from pain, pursuing pleasure, and giving precious little thought to Hashem, little attention to the kingdom, maybe no attention to the kingdom, maybe unaware of God. Without God in the world, the self-centered life, the me-centered life, is the zombie life. And it's normal. It's the normal human life. But it's not normal for believers. This is the thing. This is my point. It's just not normal for a believer to live like that. It's not normal for real disciples of the Master to live like that, because a believer has been quickened, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Hey, let's look at this together. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll read something about just three verses here, okay? Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. We'll read something about the zombie life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "And you were all zombies, dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." You see, you get that walking death thing there. Walking dead. They were walking and they were dead. You were dead and you were walking. That makes you a zombie. "You were all zombies, dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, a.k.a. the devil, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of humanity, like the rest of the human race." But here's the thing, that's not normal anymore. Zombie life's not normal for a believer. I misled you. I was going to read three more verses. It goes on, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even while we were still zombies in our trespasses, he made us alive together. He quickened us by Messiah, by grace you've been saved. And he raised us up," because we were dead, you know, like a zombie is dead. "He raised us up, he made us alive, and seated us with him in the heavenly places." Look at this. Paul's theology has the believer as, you were dead, and then you were raised, and not only that, but you have ascended with Messiah and are now seated at the right hand in some strange mystical way. And this is what I'm talking about. It's not normal for a believer to be walking around like a Metzora, like a leper, like a zombie, like a living, walking, spiritually dead person. But that, unfortunately, is the average Christian experience. And at this point, I am contrasting the normal believer with the average believer. You see the difference? The average Christian is not living the normal Christian life. Because the normal disciple of Yeshua is not a spiritual zombie. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 6, one of my favoritest passages. He says, "We know that Messiah, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves." Think of yourselves this way. Think of yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Let not sin, therefore, be in charge of you," is what he's saying. Because you're supposed to think of yourself as alive like Messiah. That should be the picture for the normal believer who has been quickened, who has been born again by the Spirit, who has died with Messiah and risen with him. Paul says, "Put on." Remember last 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this, we were doing it. Put on, put off, put on, put off. Put off, put on. Paul says, "Put on the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's almost, you know, here's the deal. When you start to think about this, you start to think in terms of this. What is the normal Christian life? What is a normal believer? What is a normal follower of Messiah? It's on almost every page of the New Testament. You're not going to be able to open the New Testament without seeing, wow, it's like, it's everywhere. It's the message of the apostles, the Christ life, the Messiah life, the transformed life, the normal life. And so here's a question. It's a rhetorical question for you. Why be content with being average when you could be normal? Yeah? Back to the mysticism, though. In Messiah, you are a sinner saved by grace, right? You hear that sometimes. I remember a sign in a parking lot of a church once that said something along those lines about you are just a sinner saved by grace, but you will be towed if you park in this spot, or something like that. I am just a sinner saved by grace. I know that. But according to the Bible, according to the message of the apostles, and according to the quickening, I am no longer a sinner. Which is, the evidence isn't tallying with that. You know, you can ask anyone who lives with me. The evidence doesn't quite tally with that theological construct. But according to the apostles, I have acquired the righteousness of God. The believer has been made righteous before God, right? Legally. Think about that. Romans 5 says this in verse 19, "For our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's 2 Corinthians 5. And Romans 5 says, "So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made tzadikim," will be made righteous. So every believer and disciple of the Master, my brothers and sisters, we are tzadikim, righteous ones. And that makes me a tzadik, which is pretty cool. I'm a tzadik, and so are you. You are a tzadik. Or a tzedika. A tzedika. What have you? A righteous person. Person. A holy person. A mighty man of God. Mighty woman of God. Aaron Eby explains it this way. He says, "A person should never consider himself a rasha." That is, a wicked person. A believer. A believer should never consider himself a wicked person, a sinner. Rather, he should consider himself a tzaddik, who is failing miserably. A tzaddik who is failing miserably. But our job then, as this tzaddik, this tzaddik that's failing miserably, is to get our act together. That righteousness, that righteous life, that quickened life, the tzaddik life, it is the winning lottery ticket, cashing it in through Messiah. If you are a believer, you won the lottery. Yes, you did. But the average believer never bothers to get the transformed life, to actually go through the transformation of the transformed life. He never bothers to redeem the lottery ticket. He just keeps it in his pocket all his life as a sort of life insurance policy, a go to heaven and get out of hell ticket. But the normal believer, cashes in and claims these winnings and starts living the Christ life, the Messiah life. Who wants to go through life as a zombie? Why settle for being average when you can be normal? You're a tzaddik, a tzaddika. Paul charges his disciple, his number one disciple, Timothy. He charges him this way. He says, "As for you, O man of God, flee those things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life
to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Shabbat Shalom.